Vanelli gets Killellied, Coley gets Rollied, Croft gets Crunched, and Skaggs gets Fragged. SEAL Team 6 is sixth, guys. We're going to talk about The Strain, Season 3, Episode 1, New York Strong. Stay with us.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Guys, we are New York Strong here at AfterBuzz TV Studios as we talk about The Strain Season 3, Episode 1, entitled New York Strong. More like New York Week.
New York Slow.
Because nobody seems to be really doing a good job in fighting the Strigoi, even in this season. I'm your host, Steve Lemieux. You can find me on Twitter at Steve Lemieux, STPHNLEMIEUX. Jackie Browski, Zach Wilson, and Matt Lieberman will not be joining us this season. Jackie may jump in from time to time, and then Kenny Harrison, who also does shows here at AfterBuzz, might be jumping in too because he watches the show. But that doesn't mean we can't have a great time with our new host of the panel. Everybody give a warm round of applause for our new host, Stacey Newsom Santiago.
Woo!
All right. You can follow her on Twitter at
That's Stacey Newsom with no E at the end. STACEYNEWSOM.
Also, I tweeted her Twitter out earlier, so if you guys look at my feed, you'll see her Twitter name. So we're going to talk about The Strain for those of you who are still watching it. I like the direction the season is going. I still think there's like a few things that just drive me up a freaking wall, but we'll get to those as we go. I'm going to break this episode down. We're going to talk about Ephraim Goodweather, the head of the CDC, which that's an inside joke if anyone's joining us for the first time, is that I always call him the head of the CDC when he's definitely not. He's just an epidemiologist for the CDC. Then we're going to go into Vasily Fett. We're going to talk about some Quinlan, the most interesting character on the show, I like to call him. And we'll talk about Augustus for a second, and then we'll end with how I worded it on my notes, fucking dickhead Zach. Appropriate?
Sure, yes.
All right, cool. So, oh my God. Guys, I'm going to preface this. I'm going to try to stay as positive as I can.
Please, yes.
There's some things that I'm going to facepalm on that I'm going to just...
You know what? Let's just keep it 100. Let's just keep it real. Keep it real.
We will keep it 100 here at AfterBuzz TV, guys. I'm in the chat, too, so I can see what you guys are saying. So shout out to Lely Kid, Anime Man 86, Renji 90909998. So yeah, join us in the chat. We're taping live. I think Sundays at 9 p.m. is going to be our normal time. Mm-hmm. We're starting a little late tonight. Go ahead, give us a review on iTunes. We have a good amount of reviews on iTunes. Thank you for that. Anyone who commented throughout when we weren't taping the show on the off season. We left off last season with lots of anger and terrible things happening and me hating Zach a lot. Not my co-host Zach, but the character Zach, mm-hmm. because he is the biggest piece of shit to ever walk onto television. And I hope you guys feel that way, too. I hope I'm not alone in criticizing a child.
Okay, here's the thing. How many days have passed since the last season ended? Like, what, a couple days, 3 days? He has clearly aged a year since then. Boy, The Strain has really, like, aged him.
Dick moves are like steroids for aging.
That's just right.
Him pulling a real dick move was kind of his growing up moment, I guess.
Yes.
Okay. So, let's go ahead and jump into Ephraim Goodweather and see how he's doing now that his wife is a Strigoi and his son left him.
Well, it seems he really
likes the vodka.
His
son killed his girlfriend by leaving him, so let me just make sure we preface that.
Yes, yes. He seems to really like the bottle these days a lot, it seems.
The alcoholism kind of came back last season, mm-hmm. and it's very strong. They really set it up with the sounds, dogs barking in the background. He's got a bottle of alcohol. He's got the gun. He's mm-hmm. sleeping. As soon as you see Zach at the back door as a Strigoi, I'm like, oh, this is a dream. And then it was a dream.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. So the show still does the stuff that it did last season.
Right.
Cops bust in. There's a mandatory evac of St. Michael's. So they're wondering, what the hell are you doing here?
He's like, bro, it's my house, dude.
Right?
Yeah.
Chill.
Want a drink?
Chillax. Just like New York, the cops bust in for no reason. Chillax. No, I'm just kidding. He uses the badge, so they just leave him alone, which mm-hmm. I was like, would they just leave him alone, or would they like force him out? I mean, it's a forced evacuation.
Well, clearly he's like the head guy in charge now, I guess, in their minds. Like, I mean, who's really in charge these days in New York?
It feels like just the mayor. The mayor is really the only person who's making moves.
Right. But clearly he's the guy who knows how to make the bioweapon, or trying to figure out how to make the bioweapon.
So they've made the bioweapon. And that's where we're at right now, is that he has released the bioweapon on, and the mayor is using it in certain areas. And we'll come up on that. I was really hoping he'd take that dog as a sidekick, like open the taxi and like bring the dog in. Because I was like, man, Ephraim and the dog, like, let's get some I Am Legend stuff going on.
Right. I saw the dog as like just symbolism of how like everybody's basically just every man for himself, eating out of the trash. They're on a barter system now in New York, you know.
It is very like The Last of Us, like apocalyptic mode. And they get a good shot at doing that. There's lots of people looting. So he grabs a taxi, runs out to the hideout, and he's like, man, it's time to make the donuts.
Right.
He had to throw that. I wish this episode was called Time to Make the Donuts.
That was pretty good.
Would have been great.
You know what? It made me just want a Dunkin' Donut, basically, when he said that.
I know.
Time to make a donut.
Sponsored by Dunkin' Donut. No, not really. Not really. This is where we get a little bit of a character development with Ephraim and the mayor. The mayor is really wanting him to stay safe, to be smart, because he's the only one who knows how to fight these things, and he's helping her out a lot. And she mentions them called munchers, and Ephraim knows that, of course, Vasily Fett's the one who calls them munchers, so I think he's kind of got an inkling that she's working with him. And she says something interesting. She says the bioweapon is working at 75% proficiency right now. Which is interesting, because his reaction is, well, you said it was 100 before, which means that so they're doing something to lower the death rate of this bioweapon.
It sounded a little political to me. It sounded like there was some like politics going on there when she's like kind of massaging the numbers. And it's like, okay, what does she really want from him? You know, like, I don't know. It sounded, something didn't seem right in that conversation to me.
Yeah, well, what's going on right there is she doesn't realize the magnitude of what she's saying. Because when I tell you, like, if I give you a pill that says this will kill cancer with 100% proficiency, and then you come to me 3 days later say, yeah, you know, this is great, we need to make more of it, it's killing him with 75%, I'm thinking, why did it go down in proficiency? I'm thinking, they're developing an immunity, they're quarantining their own kind, they're doing something to fight back against this bioweapon, and that's where his mind goes.
Right.
And I'm kind of like, is the mayor really that stupid that she's not realizing this, that that's a big problem, if within 3 days or less, they're already finding ways to fight back against that?
Right.
Which, I'd love to get a Strigoi's perspective on this, where the master is quarantining his own Strigoi the same way that humans are quarantining they're infected. That'd be a cool kind of comparison.
Well, I think what we're seeing is that the Strigoi are getting stronger and faster, like, every passing day.
Yeah. Not in the sunlight, but
exactly. Every passing night, they're getting stronger and faster.
So, going down, we see him go into a rooftop, he steals some drugs, and then he's, at this point I'm guessing he's trying to figure out how they're surviving, but it turns out he's literally just getting drugs, because that's the barter system now.
Right.
It's time, I need food, and a vodka, and a taser.
Yeah.
Why not have a taser? I'm wondering if we'll see that coming up next episode, because as far as I know, the taser didn't really do anything this episode. And then he decides to exit the quarantine. And I'm like, okay, so is this the I Am Legend moment where he's going to pick up a Strigoi and, like, test on it to see why it's 75% now? But no, it's just to get more gas from a parking garage.
Right.
Which is just kind of like, okay, so
a moment to isolate him so he can get into a conflict with
A Strigoi. I was just like, okay, so we're making an excuse. We're literally writing this character into a parking garage just so we can have some action in the episode. It doesn't really have anything to do with the story. It doesn't push his character forward at all. It's just false suspense for no reason.
Well, you know, that scene made me very anxious, because it's like you said, when we were watching it, it just takes one worm, allegedly, to infect them.
It made me so mad. I was so angry. I'm
like, there are worms everywhere. It's on his knife. It's on the seat next to him in the car. Like, just.
Yeah, it's he's dumb because he's like, I'm going to shoot it in the foot, gets on the ground, shoots it in the foot, but isn't like in a position where he can get back up.
Yeah.
So then he's just on the ground shooting this thing, kills it. And then there's a bunch more and he starts beating it in the face with a freaking pistol when he doesn't even have a glove on. And like they make it with Sean Astin's character in the first season, they make it very obvious that all it takes is a stray worm to infect you and kill you.
Right.
And I understand that they're going for, okay, he's got a Devil May Cry attitude because he's lost his girlfriend, he's lost his ex-wife, or wife, I forgot where that's at, and he's lost his son. So yeah, he's got a Devil May Cry attitude. But come on, he pistol whips it in the face with his fist like four times, then he stabs a knife into it, and you see that there's stuff all over the knife.
Right, right.
Even when he throws the handle, there's stuff all over the handle. I'm like, how does he not have a worm on him?
Yeah, and then you see he puts it down in the passenger side in the car, and the worms are on the seat next to him.
He's like, I don't care. There's just worms. They can be worms there.
Yeah, and then I got really itchy because, like, I don't like worms. Worms are nasty. Like, these thought of worms.
This is not the show for you, right? Anime Man in the chat says, main character plot armor. He is safe for life. Yeah, but, like, come on. Like, I want good suspense.
Right.
Not just
contrived.
It's just like last season where Vasily and them, they crawl through this damn hole in the sewers and there's worms all around it, but they're just so okay with just crawling through it with their elbows out and they don't get in. They're like, what? Okay, I'm gonna let that go because I feel like people are gonna hate me if I keep holding on to that.
The damn worms.
Okay, so yeah, I was just really upset. He drives it into the sun, it melts. Kind of reminding the audience, of course, that, okay, they do have a weakness. It is the sunlight. They're still, because, you know, people forget things over the week. So he goes home, eats the soups, drinks the vodka.
Was it soup or was it a can of worms? Because those noodles looked very wormy to me.
I think that was like a play on the imagery.
Like, that's nasty.
And then he's hanging out and then he hears the door open. Suspense. And then he opens the door. Suspense. And then there's a kid outside the door. Suspense. And then there's one inside the room. Suspense. And then you're like, oh my god, he's surrounded by them. Suspense. And then Kelly walks in. You're like, oh crap.
I get the feeling you feel very manipulated in the show tonight.
I like where the story's going. I just wish they'd stop thinking that the audience is idiots.
Right.
So the kids are there. Mm-hmm. It is actually a really cool scene because he's surrounded by four of these children.
Are they children?
Yeah, they're children. They're the blind kids that she changed into special Strigoi last season.
Okay.
Because they kidnapped the school bus of blind kids.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
And then there was just a bunch of them. Quinlan killed a bunch of them, but there's still a good amount left. And they look really creepy. They look like Garbage Pail Kids that walk around. Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
No.
So yeah, and Kelly walks up to him and she's like, Zach is alive. And his first thought is, give me back my son. Give me back my son. Then he asks, are you still alive in there at all? Mm-hmm. And this is really interesting because we get a little bit more of a development on somebody who's actively under the master's influence but still holding consciousness. And she says, when his leash loosens and his voice leaves me, I feel sadness. Mm-hmm. But then the thirst drives the emotion away.
Right. And I'm wondering, like, how tough it is for her to not feed on the people she loved, like him or her son, you know? So it's like, what is that conflict like for her character, I wonder?
Yeah, and I hope they do dive into that more, because I feel like, aside from Eldridge Palmer, and I mean, I'd like to get a lot more Ikorist, because the backstory with Ikorist was really interesting last season. And the backstory with Eldridge Palmer was interesting, but we don't really have a bad guy crony Strigoi. So I think Kelly's the opportunity to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, of course, Ikorist is a bad guy crony Strigoi, but it's a little different. I just mean somebody from like this character doom. And she says she wants the lumen. Trade the lumen for Zach.
Right. And I'm like, that's a bad bitch.
That's a bad bitch. Yeah, and Renji says they also grew. Yeah, they did grow a little bit, but I mean, they're It's only been a few days. It's been 23 days since the flight landed.
Okay.
That was in the voiceover at the beginning of the show, which is interesting. They started last season, the season before that, with a voiceover at the beginning of the episode, the premiere. So that was a good touch. So she wants to trade Zach for the Lumen. At this point, I'm thinking,
now what does she get out of this though?
It doesn't matter. She doesn't have a choice.
Yeah.
She has to do what the master tells her. The master wants the Lumen. So the master's plan is to trade Zach for the Lumen.
But then what does she get out of it from the master? I mean, she's infected.
She's
not going to get uninfected.
No, but she's getting to be together with Zach.
Mm.
Like, she's getting to actually have some semblance of consciousness with her son.
Mm-hmm.
So that's her kind of payoff.
That's got to be even worse, though. It's like, you're not human, so you can't, like, you can't continue your human relationship with him. You know, you're wanting to feed on him, probably. So yeah. It's like, she's like in that arrested state between being human and being a vampire.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going for there. Because, like, I feel like she shouldn't be needed to be manipulated, because I feel like the master should be able to just order her around.
Mm-hmm.
So then maybe she doesn't have any feeling. I don't know. But let's move on a little bit. But at the same time, it's just dumb. Like, it's just dumb. Like, just, if you can kill Ephraim, if you can get them all towards Ephraim that easily, just kill Ephraim and then go after the book.
But then we wouldn't have a show.
I know, but, like, if you can get him that easily, like, just kill him and then go after the book. Or turn Ephraim into one of her, give him makeup, and then have him go kill Satrakian or something. Then you could also, like, you look at this and you're like, God damn it, Zach, what the hell? You dumbass. Now you're being a bargaining chip. Like, just go and die already. Like, you just hate this kid at this point. You're like, you hated him when he let Nora die. You hated him when he was doing stupid shit in the basement of the freaking store 2 seasons ago when he dropped his cell phone. And now you hate him because he's just a bargaining chip to screw over humanity.
He's just a kid. He didn't know.
If the population of New York knew that Zach was the reason that they could all be sentenced to being Strigoi because they're trading him for the sanctuary of all humanity, like, basically the Lumen is the key to beating the master, and they're like, let's trade our secret weapon that can actually solve this thing for a stupid little son who's already told us to screw off for and killed Nora.
And you know, the scene between Kelly and Zach was a little creepy and very Norman Bates-ish to me, when he's brushing his mom's hair and helping her with her makeup, and I'm like, little echoes of where is this relationship going to go with her being a vampire now?
Oh my God, I have notes on that. God. I mean, is that the end of the episode? Yeah, we're going to talk about that at the end of the episode under my fucking dickhead Zach segment.
What do you really feel about Zach?
Oh my God. This isn't a complaint to the actor at all. It's just, I don't like that I don't care about the character.
Right.
Like, I don't like that they've made me hate the character so much that, like, I'm, like, literally, oh, trade the book for Zach? Ha! Get out of here. We're going to keep the book. Just go ahead and kill him. Like, that's how I feel. I'm like, oh, you want the book? You want the book? How about you kill him? Kill him. I'll give you a page of the book for his left hand. How about that? I think we're good.
Wow. This kid has really stirred up some emotion in you.
Dude, I hate him so much. Okay. So, 1 second. Let's see where we're going. Okay.
I did want to add that the agony that F must feel just not knowing, you know, where his son was at the beginning. Just sitting there in his house in the dark by himself, just waiting for just his son to come home. That must have just been so hard for his character, you know?
I know. It would have been nice if, like, his son was loyal enough to not screw over his girlfriend and kill her and then be a total dickbag. You know, if he had raised a good son who's not a total dickbag, it would have been great. And worth him sitting alone in a dark room waiting for him who's never going to come. I'm sorry. I just have no sympathy for this kid. I'm just not into it. Oh, my God.
I think okay, we'll talk about that in predictions. Never mind.
All right, so let's get into Vasily. Vasily's working with the National Guard and the Navy SEALs with the mayor of the city. And he's basically just around doing the recon where they're not letting him come with him, but mm-hmm. he's just watching the cameras and giving them info on the sewers and info on the buildings because he knows New York.
He's itching to get in on the action.
Oh, he's so trying to get in the action. He wants to be hitting them with rebar.
Yeah.
He loves hitting them. And I don't like that they're not having Fett do this, but I guess it makes sense because they're wanting him to build up to what mm-hmm. he does in the end. So it's just it opens up with a SEAL team going down into a smuggler's tunnel, mm-hmm. taking out some Strigoi pretty efficiently, and this kind of leads to the mayor talking about how we need more Navy SEALs. We need to take care of this problem.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing that I didn't like was that they talk about check your cuffs and seals for worms.
Right.
But then they're not wearing like masks or anything.
Yeah.
Their faces are completely open, and I'm like, okay, so you're going to seal your cuffs and stuff, but right. you're not going to get anything on your face. Whatever. So
I think they got bit in the ass by their own technology. Like, they were so confident in their technology, and their technology just couldn't win out over these creatures.
Yeah, and that's what Quinlan says later. He mm-hmm. says that technology won't be useful against the Master because mm-hmm. he's supernatural yeah. in a way. So he's got kind of stuff going on. We did get a nice scene between Vasili and Quinlan when Vasili's talking to Satrakian, and mm-hmm. Satrakian's telling him basically that he's not going to just jump in there. He's going to read the book. He's going to figure this out, and he's not going to make half measures. And Vasili meets Quinlan because Quinlan sneaks up on him. He's not happy.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of prejudice here. He doesn't really like the Daywalkers.
I'm wondering how many episodes we're going to see Strakarian's hunched over that lumen. Like, he seems to be the only comfortable one in the entire series right now. Like, he's got like
he's just chilling.
Yeah, he's got a comfortable abode. He looks like he's well fed. He's well hydrated. You know, he's
been safe. Through a lot. Okay,
I know. But
Satrakian deserves a little bit of a leather chair and a nice little lobby. Okay. He needs a good. He's not. He lost Zach. He can't do milk and cookies with Satrakian anymore. With Zach, he's just kind of like alone, looking at his lumen. And he's been chasing this book for so long.
I know. So I'm wondering how long they're gonna like milk. You know, the whole him poring over the pages, because it seems like the action's is gonna go at a snail's pace. Because like it seems like it. You know, I was expecting like the first episode of the season to like really like reveal some things, and it just seems like it's going to plod along just like the other seasons.
Yeah, I really hope they speed this the hell up because
well, they only got 10 episodes this season.
Yeah, so I really hope things like start moving forward more because mm-hmm. we could have had the scene between Ephraim and Kelly like within the first 15 minutes of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we didn't need his whole traversal down into the freaking parking garage and the false suspense of that, and then him coming back and then waiting till the end for him to meet Kelly. It's like, guys, just cut the bull crap. Use your budget on good stuff. Like, make a good story and make it awesome with the budget you have instead of just wasting money on these stupid scenes that don't have anything to do with the story.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't. The parking garage scene was completely useless. I'm sorry, it was. Scene where he's stealing drugs in the building, like, okay, he traded it for soup. You very easily could have just had him trading drugs for soup without him going into the building and getting drugs. You know why? I mean, it shows the dextromethamphetamine, but okay, great. Dextromethamphetamine, great. He picked it some up. Okay, cool. Great scene. So then we go down into the subway station. Basically, they tell Fett he's not going to be able to join them. And there was a great line between Satrakian and Fett before I move forward, is when Fett's a hater and Satrakian says, "If I do, your I told you so will be a great source of comfort before you dispatch me." That's a great, best line.
It was a good action movie line.
Oh, people are saying, remember F and Nora? Yeah, F and Nora. God. I've never missed the other characters so much. So the SEALs have 2 days. They tell Fett that they are leaving in 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
They got to find the Master, or you know what? They've already written off New York. And I'm thinking, there's no way they would send like 12 Navy SEALs and then write off New York. 12 right. Navy SEALs couldn't do it. Bye, New York. We don't need you. We don't need one of the biggest like icons of our country. Quarantine, vampires. just the thing. 12 Navy SEALs. If they die, you guys are on your own.
Well, where did they dispatch the rest of the military? They went to send them to D.C.? Where did they send
There's
them?
Like National Guard, and they're all just holding the border. They're all just quarantining the city. Yeah. So they sent the Navy SEALs in to try to find the master. But I'm just like, you're really only going to send 12 Navy SEALs for a citywide search surrounded by lethal enemies. Mm-hmm. And you're giving them guns and nothing that can actually, like, fight them except for guns with bullets. I'm like, okay, great. So
it
they
takes
go-
a lot of bullets to kill these things, too. I was noticing that. Like,
well, because they're not shooting them in the head. They're, like, using machine guns.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
I'm like, what? Why are you shooting, like, 6 or 7 times? Just shoot once in the head. I don't understand.
God. Yeah. So they go down there and they're baited by Ikerst. Mm-hmm. You see Ikerst being super weird, looking like the MC from Cabaret or something.
Yes.
Just smiling at him. And I'm like, and Fett's like, oh, don't let him get away. Chase him. I'm like, that was like the third facepalm of the episode. I'm like, are you serious? Like,
right.
Every single time you guys run into Ikerst, you follow him and bad stuff happens.
Right.
Every single time.
Well, in this episode, this particular one, Fett, like, delivers a line before he shoots at him. And then he, like, while he's delivering his line, he gets away. And it's like, if you just shot him and not delivered a line.
Well, he delivered the line. It's like, I bet he's not faster than bullets. And Fett should be like, wait a second. I was there in the subway when we shot bullets at him, and he was faster than bullets. So, yes, he is faster than bullets.
Right.
He's also very nonchalantly leading you a different direction. Mm-hmm. Why are you going to follow him? like, are you serious? Come on, this is a Navy SEAL team. They should be like, maybe we shouldn't follow this guy who's very, very cavalierly leading us
right.
towards a very dark place that we haven't done recon on before. Hey, guys, we did recon on this building. It's 2 floors, blah, 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 blah. There's a lot of these Strigoi down here. Let's very quickly go to a brand new location where we have no information on it and just assume that we're going to take them down.
Didn't you get the feeling like you were watching Predator or some Schwarzenegger movie, too, when Fett delivers the line, oh, you're not hunting him anymore. He's hunting you.
You're not hunting him anymore. He's hunting you. We are not hunting him. He's hunting you. Ah, get down! God, it's just... It's sometimes baffling to me. I began this show saying I'm going to stay positive, so let's go back to positive route.
Now, I'll say something positive. That was a very good Schwarzenegger impersonation.
Oh, don't lie to me.
No, I'm serious. That was great.
I will say something positive. I like that they're using thermal. I think that's cool that they're using thermal to chase these Strigoi down. But then their equipment backfires, turns off, and they're kind of screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Then they get static in their ears, which like knocks them out. Which I'm just like, take your earpiece out.
Exactly. I'm like, do they all hear it or just some people hear it?
And it's like, I would understand if it was like in their heads and not in their earpiece. Then I'd be, okay, cool. So it's actually the master doing this into their minds.
Yes, that's what I thought at first. But then
didn't take their helmets off or anything or try to get their ear pierces out. So I was just super confused.
Mm-hmm.
So... Obviously, the SEAL team has zero survivability and doesn't know how to handle themselves in these situations, which is unrealistic because I feel like a SEAL team would definitely know what to do in that situation if their equipment malfunctioned.
In the vampire apocalypse, yes.
Obviously. They're trained for that. Okay. So, yes, Ikerst gets wounded every encounter, but he always gets away and he always leads people into bad places.
And why
I get that.
And why did the brother have to suffer the worst death of all? Just got sliced in half.
Right?
What was that?
So messed up. As I said at the beginning, Vanelli gets Kalelied, Coley gets Rollied, Skaggs gets Fragged, and Croft gets Crunched.
Yes.
It's just like, they're like, let's give these characters names and then kill them all. And just for the sake of Renji90998 in the chat, it's a trap! You gotta have the Admiral Ackbar. The only thing that could have made this episode more cheesy and perfect would be, like, the Wilhelm scream. Like, Aah! Like that would have been great. Like, soldier gets cut in half, Wilhelm scream. Would have loved that. So Fett goes down there, saves two of them, uses the blacklight flashlight on their face to make sure they're not infected, takes them out, and then sees Ikerst, and Ikerst is like, Toodles and leaves.
Yeah. And <you're> like, literally.
I did like it when Bolivar popped up next to the guy. That was a cool effect.
Yes.
Bolivar is looking very, very Strigoi now, and he's kind of heavily adapted to his new body.
Mm-hmm.
The master is adapted to Bolivar's body, is what I mean. Very large difference between what he looks like as Bolivar, yes, master than what he looked like as Gigantic.
And that made me very anxious. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
This whole show made me anxious, actually.
And that's kind of the end of Vasili's storyline for this episode. Give Me Shelter asks in the chat, do you guys think this was a strong premiere? Lol Kid says no. Anime Man says nah. So that's kind of what people are thinking. Give Me Shelter says hot, the plight of the brother, RAP Navy SEALs.
Yeah, strong performances, though. I do want to, like, point out, like, Kevin Durand, I do like
Kevin's him. Always on point.
Yes.
Ephraim's pretty much always on point. Mm-hmm. Ruta Gedmentes is always great, but we didn't see her. I like Eichhurst's actor, Richard Sammel. Mm-hmm. He's always phenomenal. I watch him in anything. He's great. Even Eldritch Palmer's good. Not a big fan of the mayor's line delivery in this episode.
Samantha Mathis, right?
Yeah, I think yes. So. It was mm-hmm. kind of seemed forced. It's like, and take a damn shower. It felt kind of like sitcom-y.
Yeah.
It felt like Uncle Owen from Star Wars just being like, God, Luke, take a damn shower. You smell like bantha fodder.
I felt like her character was a little too, I don't want to say hysterical, because that sounds like I'm being sexist. I felt like she was a little too, like, I don't know, almost whiny.
Yeah.
A little whiny.
She was so strong, though. That's the weird thing. Yeah. I think it was just her character was different. Like, when we are introduced to this character, she is a no-nonsense, she's Amanda Waller.
Yes.
This woman is Amanda Waller of this strain.
Yes.
If you guys have watched Suicide Squad or read Suicide Squad or seen Batman, the animated series and stuff, you know who Amanda Waller is. She's a no-nonsense woman who gets shit done
mm-hmm.
through violence or other means. And this episode, it just seemed like she was complaining to Ephraim that she didn't have Navy SEALs. I'm like,
yeah.
Where's the change in your character?
Yeah. It's like, tell him what to do. Don't, like, come in pleading, like, oh, I can't do it. Oh, we no. That's what her character felt like tonight.
All right, and we got to get through this storyline. Gus.
Yes.
So everyone knows Gus is an awesome character.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's cool. He's always playing the neutrality line, working with different sides and stuff, doing cool stuff. Working with Joaquin, what is his name? Crap. Sorry, guys. Give me this because I feel like it's not. Joaquin Cosio, who actually was in studio, did an interview for us a few weeks ago. I think we're going to try to get him on for this season if he can join us. Was bumped up to series regular.
Great.
So good, that's awesome. But yeah, so Gus was working with him. We didn't see him at all this episode, though.
Mm-hmm.
And this was another time that I just facepalmed because I'm just so annoyed by the fact that he's feeding his mom his blood.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm just like, you're smarter than this. This is dumb. Why are we continuing with the storyline?
Mm-hmm.
It's just super stupid that he's feeding her his blood. Like, if he was keeping her in a closet or something, I'd be like, okay. And he's just keeping her with the straitjacket, sure. But giving her his blood and, like, walking in all woozy and stuff.
Well, how else is she going to eat then?
Yeah, but he doesn't need to walk in all woozy and shit. Just mm-hmm. like, oh, almost falling over, about to get killed by my own mom. Right. He knows how dangerous these things are. Mm-hmm. His best friend turned into a Strigoi the first episode that we're introduced to him. And he has to kill his best friend with a baseball bat.
Mm-hmm.
So he's dealt with the terrible stuff. He's had to kill loved ones that are Strigoi.
Right.
But he's feeding his mom, like, putting himself at risk. And this is what they show us with this character, with one of the strongest characters in the show. They bring us back to the premiere. We've been waiting to see what's going on with him. And he's just in his apartment, drawing blood, giving it to his mom in a dog dish, being like, ooh, hey.
I thought he was shooting up at first. I'm like, oh, man, he's on heroin now.
It was just... I was just so upset because he's better than that. His character is better than that.
But there's an emotional component. That is his mom, you know? So it's like, clearly...
But that's not him, though. Like,
But it's his mom.
Fucking kidnap somebody and throw somebody in the room with his mom. That's him. That's Gus. Gus, somebody tries to mug Gus on the street. Like, mm-hmm. I would have loved the scene where you see Gus walking home with whatever, like needles or whatever's in his bag, like groceries. Somebody tries to steal his food and mug him. So yeah. he knocks the guy out and the guy wakes up in the same room and his mom eats the guy. Okay. That's Gus.
Okay.
Gus, I don't see Gus giving his own blood to his mom and nearly killing himself doing
but maybe
it.
Maybe that's his way of trying to form or reform some kind of like recognition between him and her. Like clearly she doesn't know who he is, but maybe he thinks she does. And it seemed like maybe she kind of recognized him.
Yeah, but I feel like he's been through so much already that mm-hmm. he would understand that she's not coming back.
Mm-hmm.
That's my thing is like. Yes, the master has control of the consciousnesses, but killing the master does not necessarily mean that every Strigoi turns back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
They've already had their insides completely changed. They no longer have genitals. They're just fleshy beasts with a big worm inside of them. I don't really see them turning back into a human anytime
mm-hmm.
easier.
Mm-hmm.
I
think there's definitely an emotional component as to why he's feeding his mom his own blood.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many good characters in the show that we didn't need a stupid scene with Gus doing stupid stuff that just makes me hate his character. Moving on.
Is there a character you actually like tonight?
I liked Fett's character tonight.
Yeah.
I didn't like that Fett was like, oh yeah, chase him when he saw Eichhorst, but I still like Fett's character. He's true to his character.
Yeah.
I didn't like that the mayor wasn't true to her character.
Mm-hmm.
I think I want more Bolivar. I want more the master actually doing stuff and like seeing what he's doing.
Right.
I think we're missing that a bit. But on to our last thing. Fucking dickhead Zach.
Because we haven't talked about him at all enough tonight.
All right. So this is my notes.
Okay.
His mom goes into the bunker. He's staying. Kelly, she's doing makeup. Will you help me? He starts combing her hair. This is some Norman Bates shit.
Yes.
The master will get it. Let us be together because I'm going to do something for him.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then we saw what she did for him.
Yeah,
but then, like, I want to know, like you said, okay, what does she get out of it? But she's, like, a vampire now, so, like, she can't have the same relationship with him she used to.
Yeah, and it's just, I feel like Zach should be smarter than this.
Mm-hmm.
He's seen them killed in front of him. He's had to experience his mom going, seeing his mom crawling on all fours, and suddenly she's fine. But... sure, but now
he's
she's
playing
like
the game.
Now she's like this.
He's playing the game, though. He's got to play the game.
I'm just hoping that he's going to be the one to like put her out of her misery later.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm hoping that they're building up to that. But I really just hate this character.
Right.
Like I hate this character so much. Like I want this character to die.
Right.
And I don't wish death on children often.
Not too much. Only a couple.
Not too much.
Only a couple of times a year.
Hashtag Zach is whack. Hashtag Zach dumb for life. These are from the chat. I'm not even making this up. So that's our episode. That's our premiere. False suspense in a freaking parking garage. Dumb character development with Gus.
Right.
And just a bunch of stuff that pisses me off. We didn't talk about Quinlan meeting the Ancients, but Quinlan meets the Ancients and talks to them. And they're like, we want the Lumen. Give us what's in the Lumen. Quinlan's like, no, I'm not going to give you what's in the Lumen. That's all that really happens there.
I know. I agree. This episode did not start out with a bang. No sense of urgency in the storyline at all tonight. But at least there wasn't much filler except for those couple of scenes that you mentioned. And I felt like that was a little bit of character development tonight.
Maybe more than most nights, but to be perfectly honest, Vasily starts the episode in one place,
mm-hmm.
and all we learn about his character is that he doesn't like Quinlan.
Okay.
That's it. First episode, that's it. Literally, his character stays in the same place aside from that.
Mm-hmm.
SEAL team, characters that are introduced this episode, already killed off this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor, she goes from being a strong character to being really whiny and depending on Ephraim and doesn't have enough resources. She's kind of staying in the same place this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Ephraim, he meets Kelly, and Kelly says she wants the Lumen. So basically, within an hour episode, the only thing that happens with Ephraim is Kelly says, hey, I want to trade the Lumen for Zach.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. His whole character stays the same, except for knowing that there's a deal to be made now.
Well, he does get drunk, though, this episode.
Yeah, but that's been going on for the last thing. Satrakian. The end of last season was Satrakian looking at the Lumen. Mm-hmm. This episode starts. He's looking at the Lumen. Doesn't really find out anything new. Episode ends. He hasn't found out anything new. Great. His character's in the same spot. Gus. He's just retarded now. Move on. What other characters were there? Zach, he's still just helping his mom being dumb locked in a room now.
But he has to. He has to play the game. I think he's smarter than what we're giving him credit for.
I don't think he is. Because I don't think a child can make the decision to be like, I'm going to betray my mom later, so I'm going to let Nora die now.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going on, is this is a kid who literally let a human woman who's been taking care of him for the past whole season just die because his crazy Strigoi mom is there.
But that's his mom, though. Again, I think we're looking at some like really strong like mother-son ties in this episode that, you know, we can't underestimate. It's his mom.
Okay, were there any other characters that I haven't mentioned how their story and their arc hasn't really changed at all?
Completely debunking my statement that there was a little bit of character development tonight.
I mean, there was character development. It was just not... It wasn't as much as you would want for an hour if you're only getting 10 hours for a season.
Yeah.
Like, I hate to sound complainy, guys, and I really... Like, literally... Zach couldn't do the after show anymore. Matt Lieberman's too busy at SourceFed. Jackie couldn't do the after show anymore. And I just, I didn't want to do it because I felt like I'd be too negative. So we tried to find new hosts, and we found the wonderful Stacey Newsom here. But at the same time, due to scheduling, we couldn't get any other hosts. And I didn't want to just not do the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt like I owed it to the fans to at least do something. So at times it may be negative, but like, it's
those are your opinions though. Those are your opinions.
They
that's
are,
okay. That's,
you know,
that's what the fans want. Your opinions.
And like, if the writers and the actors, if they're watching this, like, I don't have anything against the actors at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think the writers are good. I think it's just some ideas don't get fleshed out as well as they should. And I think, I don't even think it might not even be them. It might be the networks. I know that I also cover Sleepy Hollow, which has gone so far off the trail that it's supposed to have been, but I learned that it wasn't because of the writers, it was because of the networks.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not going to blame anything on the production crew. Like, they're working, they're doing great work. I hope the show gets another 10 seasons if they stay employed. Mm-hmm. I think that's great. But I just feel like if I'm going to spend an hour of my time on a television show, there should be a start and end point.
Mm-hmm.
And if the characters are all in the same spot as they were at the beginning of the episode, then I just wasted an hour of my time.
Right.
And the only thing that happened in this freaking episode is the meeting between Ephraim and Kelly. That's it. That is the only thing that happened. That's it.
Well, maybe we'll see, like, maybe these 10 episodes will be like one long episode. So we're just seeing like a fraction of the 10 episode arc, which is what we're doing, you know? So maybe by episode 3 or 4, maybe the action will pick up, it'll accelerate, you know, and then we'll be like, oh yeah, finally. I mean, something's gonna happen.
Something's gonna happen. I just...
I understand what you're saying, though. I think that's what the show has suffered from since it started, is that the plot does plod along very slowly. It's like peeling back an onion very, very slowly.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's our show. We see scenes. I don't really have predictions because nothing happened.
Mm. I predict that Zach will age another year by next episode.
The scenes we see, the past the Sadrakian, we see the cop being discord. There's discord among the cops. Ephraim's reading the lumen. Quinlan suspects that Ephraim's going to betray them. He says that I've been next to people who have committed genocide for all my life. Eldritch asks for the white, so obviously the white from the master is wearing off. The mayor wants to attack the nest. Eldritch has no eyes. He's bleeding from his eyes. And there's a cool scene where there's a Strigoi that explodes in a police station and spreads worms everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool. But I'm worried that these scenes are all of, like, episodes, like, from 3 to 10. Like, it's not... Right. We're not going to get any cool stuff in the next 4 episodes. It's going to be, like, the exploding Strigoi is probably episode 7. Eilis Eldritch is probably, like, a very small scene in episode 3. The past of Sadrakian is probably a whole episode 6. Like... I worry that there's going to be pacing and cool stuff throughout. That's our show, guys. You can find me on Twitter at Stephen Lemieux, StephenLemieux. I'm sorry if I was got a little negative today.
No.
I really hope it gets so good.
I think Zach's going to surprise you. I think he's going to step up and become something of a hero.
Yeah. So that's our show, guys. Follow us on Twitter. Follow Stacey.
The Stacey Newsom.
And
at Twitter.
We'll see you guys next Sunday at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Strain After Show covering Season 3, Episode 2. Deuces.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.